Thank you, Louise. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew? Gospel according to Matthew, the very first chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And we'll begin in the 18th verse. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that in this very holy season that you would penetrate our hearts, that you would lift us up by your Spirit, that you would help us to understand the great gift that you have given for us. And Father, let us be faithful to lift Jesus up in all we do. Bless now this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, many important individuals and many important groups took part in the Christmas story and could be identified as Christmas stars. There were outsiders like the shepherds that were out in the field. There were the wise like the wise men who would come later to the scene. There were the amazing like the angels that shocked everyone and had to counsel everybody not to be afraid. There was one young woman. Think of this. One woman out of all the women to be alive. One woman out of all the women to be alive at any time in all of history was chosen. One woman. One woman to be the mother of the Messiah. And then, of course, the greatest one in the entire Christmas story is the Messiah himself, Jesus. When people start making family plans for Christmas, they try to make sure they check off all the boxes. You know, you got to make sure that the children are taken care of. We want the children to be happy. We want the children to be cared for. We want them to have the best that they can have. And then we want to make sure that mama is okay. The mother has to be kind of cared for. You don't want to leave her out. You want to make sure, you know, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. And so you want to make sure she's happy. And so you get everything just right for her. And you get everything in the place and everything is right for the kids and everything's right for mom. Well, it seems like somebody else is there, but no, not really. We kind of leave dad as the afterthought. Dad will be okay with anything, and just so he's kind of the last guy on the list. We see this every year as the world stops for Mother's Day. Father's Day come and people don't even know that it's on the calendar. So it should be no surprise when we think of the Christmas story and we think of Christmas stars that we can think of the shepherds and we can think of the angels and we can think of Mary and we can think of wise men. But Joseph, not so much. He's not the one that actually stands out. He's not one that gets very much attention. You know, after all, he's not Jesus' biological father, but he was the father in that home. He was put in place. Mary was chosen out of all the women of all time. But I want you to understand, Joseph was chosen out of all the men of all time to be in that particular spot, to carry out a particular job that God had ordained. Joseph is kind of like men at a wedding. You know they're around, but nobody pays any attention to them. You know, when it comes to the bridal gown, it has to be just so. Bridesmaids, oh my goodness, dressing all the bridesmaids alike. Apparently that hasn't worked out, so now they're dressing them alike but different. Everything's got to be just so. As far as the men in the wedding, they're background. So we stick them in something dull and just tell them to make sure that it's their coat is buttoned and they stand still. Otherwise, they're just kind of background. Joseph was just kind of in the background of the Christmas story. Yet Joseph is very important to the Christmas message. Luke tells us that the birth of Jesus took place, tells us from Mary's side. Matthew tells us from Joseph's side. Now, we don't have a lot of information on Joseph. There is a good bit about Mary, as well there should be, but Joseph, we know he was a carpenter. Joseph is important, but there's not a lot of information. I took a little bit of time aside to study everything that Joseph said. I think it's important to center in and to memorize these things. So I've memorized every word that Joseph said. You want to hear it? That was it. Not one recorded word from Joseph. Not one thing is written down. I think he must have spoken, but we are not told what he said. The Bible encourages us to be careful about our words. Joseph is a good example. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Wow, that would be good to take. It would be good if some of our politicians could take that. You know, when you think back of the best known of our nation's leaders, they were those that did not say a lot. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was only 10 sentences long. When we think of our best presidents, we go back to our first president, Washington. Washington had the shortest inaugural address of all, only 135 words. I wish some people would pay attention to him. Now, if you want to take the opposite of that, that would be William Henry Harrison. How much do you know of his great exploits? William Henry Harrison, elected to be president, had the longest address of all, 8,445 words. He gave it in a driving snowstorm. He caught pneumonia, and he died 31 days later. Maybe presidents do better if they don't talk a lot or tweet a lot. Joseph was the type of man Mary and Jesus would need in their lives. He was their protector. That is a father's role, by the way, to protect the family, to care for the family's needs, to make sure that they are cared for and they are well and they are safe. Joseph was the type of person who could do that. Now, there are two important Josephs in the life of Jesus, and if you study the scripture, you will know that there was a Joseph at his birth, there was a Joseph at his death. Jesus actually had two fathers. He had one in the earthly role, and then he had the heavenly father who was his actual father. Every child needs those same two fathers. Every child needs an earthly father who will lead and protect and guide and instruct. And every child needs to come to know Jesus as their Lord and have a heavenly father who will stand by them and take care of them throughout all eternity. The man is to be the spiritual leader in the home. God chose Joseph for the household Jesus would grow up in. Now, Joseph had a problem. Now, most men have a problem. Joseph had a problem. He's the husband of a wife. There's a problem there. There's a child in the home. There's a problem there. Verse 18, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, that phrase tells us that there was a love story that took place. Joseph was a carpenter. Maybe in doing his chores, he noticed this young girl and was attracted to her. Maybe he did some work in Mary's parents' home and he began to talk to her and he began to be interested in her. Maybe the relationship grew and their interest and their love grew. The scripture says before they came together, before they were joined together, they were betrothed. Now, in the Jewish world, marriage was a little bit different than in our world. It took three steps. There was the contract. A formal contract was made. The deal was set. The couple would be together. Sometimes they didn't have any part in that. There was the betrothal or the engagement period. That was the time to get to know one another. And then there was the marriage or the consummation of the relationship. Now, the young couple probably didn't have anything to do with drawing up the contract. Sometimes parents would do that when their children were just children. How would you like that to be the problem, the way it worked today? Well, a lot of parents, I think, might like it that way. Not so much in the kids' world. The betrothal was an extended engagement period. It wasn't a short time, it was a long time. It was a time to get to know one another. You know, many times they did not know one another at all at the start, and so once it was decided that the time of their marriage was coming, they would spend some time together. May I say it's important for you to get to know the person that you're going to marry? You know, you need to get to know everything you can about them. You need to know their honesty. You need to know their dependability. You need to know their purity. You need to know their faith. I was talking to a young man that was telling me that he was going to get married. I asked him if he knew if his fiance was going to go to the church he was going to, and he had not talked to her about that. Let me tell you, the first thing you need to know is the faith of who you are dating. You need to know if they're a believer or not believer. If they're not a believer, you shouldn't be dating them. You certainly shouldn't be engaged to them and marrying them. And so there was a time for them to get to know one another, to examine the relationship, to see if it needed to go to the next step. The third stage of marriage was the consummation. It was during the engagement period that Joseph realized something was wrong. Mary had taken a trip. You see, she had taken a trip to be with her cousin Elizabeth. Nothing wrong with that, normal thing. She was gone. When she came back, something was different. Most people cannot hide pregnancy for very long. There are certain things that just show up. It was obvious that Mary had had a change. Now, Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant, and he knew immediately the child was not his. You see, he had honored God. He had honored his wife-to-be. He had kept himself pure. Mary told Joseph, "This child is from God." Joseph had her word. He had come to love her, to trust her. But I got to tell you, this was hard to take. Put yourself in his place. Your fiance comes to you and says, "I'm expecting a child. It's from God. I've not been with anybody else." What would you say? What would you think? Mary says, "God has chosen me to be the mother of the Messiah." Now, this was hard for Mary, but let me tell you, this was hard for Joseph. Maybe today you have a problem, and you're like Joseph. You don't know which way to turn. Well, let me tell you, you take that problem straight to the Lord. We need to take our problems to the Lord. We need to allow him to work out the issues in our lives. We need to make sure that we are living for him, that we are walking with him. And so Joseph came up with the best plan he could come up with. In verse 19, Joseph being a just man, that means he was a straight man, nothing crooked in him. He was an honest man. He tried to do things right by God. Joseph was seeking to be the right type of man. He wanted to do the right thing. He cared for Mary. He really did. We often talk to girls about keeping yourself pure, and girls should, but let me tell you, boys should too. And Joseph had done those things. He had tried to do the right thing, saving the gift of sexual activity for his marriage. He had tried to do everything right. Now he's under great stress. He's caught between law and love. He probably searched the scriptures, and maybe he came to Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy says that a man could separate from his wife or fiance if she was found to be impure. The law went on to say that he could have her taken out and stoned to death. All of that was in his hands. And he would be certainly right within his rights and within the law to carry out that action. There's only one that can solve the problem of law and love. That is Jesus. Remember when that woman was taken in adultery, she was brought to Jesus. We've talked about this before. And Jesus wrote in the sand, and then he said, "Let the one that is without sin cast the first stone." None of them would cast a stone. He asked her, "Where are your accusers?" He said, "They're not here." Did none accuse you? No. Then I will not accuse you either. What Jesus was saying is I'm going to take the penalty that you deserve. I'm going to pay for the sin that you have committed. This is the Christmas message. Jesus came to take the penalty for our sin so that we might have his love. Joseph had a conviction, but he also had compassion. He's going to put her away, as the law said, but he's going to do it secretly. He's going to do it privately. They're from a small town. Can you imagine how the gossips would talk, the lies they would tell, and possibly they did tell? So he would put her away privately to protect her. Joseph had a problem. Well, Joseph had a premonition. He had this premonition or this dream. And in this dream, the angel of the Lord visited him. The angel's getting around a lot. Been to Zechariah, been to Mary, now comes to Joseph. The angel told Joseph the cause of Mary's conception. Now, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife. Joseph had all kinds of fears. He had a fear that the one that he loved, the one that he was going to marry, was now not the one that he was going to marry. That something had happened and that would take her out of that picture. He had a fear that maybe she had been chosen, and what was going to happen then, and what was his part in this. The angel tells Joseph what we know. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is a God thing. Joseph is let in on a godly secret. But imagine the faith he had to have. Imagine the belief that had to be in his heart. This was to be a supernatural birth. I believe every birth is supernatural. I believe every birth is a miracle. This one was going to be different. If you can accept Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. If you can believe that, then you can believe anything else. And since God created the heavens and the earth, yes, God could allow a virgin to conceive. Jesus was supernaturally conceived. An earthly mother, not an earthly father. Jesus had a mother so that he might be human. He had a divine father so that he might be divine. God reveals to Joseph that Mary still was pure, that Mary had not violated her commitments to him, that Mary was the one chosen. Mary was the one that would carry the child of promise, the Messiah. And then the angel revealed the nature of the baby. In verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. In verse 23, you shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus, Emmanuel, these are Christmas names. Jesus is the Old Testament Joshua. It means Jehovah is salvation. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the most wonderful name of all time. Jesus is the name that you can claim and go to heaven. Jesus is the name that you can claim and have all your sins forgiven. This is the message of Christmas. For the first time in the New Testament, God is identifying our biggest problem is our sin problem, and he has moved to do something about it in Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. If you are here and have not done that, I pray that you will. I pray that today will be the day that you will call upon the name of the Jesus and be saved. Verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. That's a key word in Matthew. The scripture is fulfilled. Every prophecy of the Messiah is fulfilled in Jesus. Isaiah 7:14 says, a virgin shall be with child. Now here it is. You will hear this again and again during the Christmas season. If Jesus had not been born of a virgin, he would have had an earthly father. If he had had an earthly father, he would have sinned. If Jesus had sinned by sin nature, then he could not be our Savior. If Jesus is not our Savior, we are all headed to hell. There is no forgiveness. There is no peace to be had. The other name is Emmanuel, God with us. Listen, the most amazing thing about Christmas is he came. He left his throne in glory. Listen, I'm sitting on a throne in glory. All things are under my feet. Angels are at my beck and call. And I'm going to leave that to go have somebody change my diaper in a stall? Jesus did. He came for us. God with us. By the way, if you receive Jesus as your Savior today, I got good news for you. He will always be with you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. And so Joseph had a problem, But then God calmed that problem with a premonition. And then we see Joseph's priority. What did Joseph decide? It's really critical. Will it be death for Mary? Or will he choose to follow what the angel has said is God's will? Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him. Praise the Lord. Do you understand if he had done the strict steps of the law and taken Mary out and stoned her to death, that would have taken away the birth of the Messiah? We would have no Savior? But he chose to do as God had willed him to do. The greatest decision you can ever make is to do the will of God. That's true for today. It is true for every day. What did Joseph do? He stood by Mary. Was it difficult? Yes, it was difficult. What did he do? He took Mary with him to Bethlehem. He stood by her in the manger as the child was born. He made sure she was cared for. When there was danger and the government was actually coming to kill the child, he was the rescuer and took them to Egypt. He stood by them. He protected them. He made sure that the Christ child grew up. What a blessing Joseph was. Not just for Mary and for Jesus, but for us. All that took place because he chose to do God's will. My friend, you need to decide to do God's will. In verse 25, Joseph did not know Mary until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that Mary called his name Jesus. Now, what that tells you is that Mary and Joseph came together and committed that this is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of promise. This is the only one that was to come. And they knew it. And they wanted the world to do it. Jesus was born. Listen, there was not even a ripple in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. But there was glory that shone all around heaven. Rejoicing in glory because Jesus had become flesh and dwelt among us. Today we are saved through the truth of Jesus. If you have never invited Jesus to be your Savior, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to open your heart up. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart, save your soul, forgive your sin. Just walk down, say, I want Jesus. We will pray together. He will come into your heart. You will be saved today. Believer, God has put you on this planet for a purpose, just like he put Joseph on this planet for a purpose. Joseph chose to do God's will, and we are blessed by it. Would you choose to do God's will? Would you choose to do God's will, be faithful coming to God's house, be faithful in Sunday school, be faithful in worship? Would you choose to do God's will? Would you be forgiving to others around you, whether they've hurt you, whether they've done things wrong or not? Would you be forgiving? Would you be redemptive to them? Would you choose to do God's will? Would you begin to tell people about Jesus? Would you invite people to be a part of what God is doing at Northside Baptist Church? Invite them to come in and be a part of God's movement and allow God to move in their heart through you? Would you choose to do God's will? Joseph did, and I'm so glad. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray right now that you would move within our hearts. Father, for anyone that is in this room that doesn't have Jesus, that they would come to know you. For believers, Father, here, that we would choose to do your will, that we would commit ourselves to be more faithful than we have been, to be more determined to follow your will day by day, to put sin aside and to allow you to be the Lord of all of our hearts and lives. Father, if there is anyone in this room, for that one that does not know you, Father, that they would have the courage to know that they need Jesus, the courage to step out, to walk forward and just say, I want Jesus, that they might be saved this day. Move our hearts toward Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, you come.